So what about that bond yield? It's the Business News Hour for Thursday, the 30th day of May. Thanks, everybody, for being with us again today. In other business news, Payless shoes, they're still open for a while. Careful what you promise. It could come back to bite you. Alexa has a new talent. Really? Have you heard about the new confidentiality mode from Gmail? You will today. Who, other than consumers, really gets stung by the ongoing trade war? We'll share that story with you. You know that prepared meal that you take to work? It could be killing you. Those stories and a conversation about guns, gun laws, and more with Tom Hudson from Crossroads Shooting Sports. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AUREON.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. The Business News is next.
And thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Business News Hour. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. We have hourly updates on what's going on in the markets there. Also, you can contact me on Twitter. You can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, the markets opened this morning slightly higher as the bond fund seemed to stabilize. The drop in bonds usually forecasts a recession, and over the past couple of days, the 10-year T-note fell to its lowest point since September of 2017 at 2.22%. Now, while the drop in bonds shakes investors, it is good news for home buyers as the mortgage rate is tied to the T-bill. Of course, there are other pressures on the markets, like the continuing trade war with no real end in sight. Watch our Twitter feed at IOB_NewsHour for regular reports on the markets. Back in February, Payless Shoes, the Topeka, Kansas-based discount shoe retailer, said all of its approximately 2,300 U.S. and Canada stores would be shuttered by the end of May. And a few hundred stores did close in March. Well, it's the end of May, and 665 Payless Shoe stores remain open, and the company now says it will wind down those stores by the end of June. California has the most stores staying open in June with 99 locations, followed by Florida with 94, Texas with 87, and New York with 74. There are no stores still open in Iowa, but a bunch remain in business in Illinois and Minnesota. In other retail news, Eddie Lampert, who purchased what was left of Sears earlier this year, said that he would pay severance to employees who lost their jobs. Well, now he's trying to welch out on the deal. Lampert is threatening not to make $43 million in pension payments to thousands of workers who have lost their jobs over the past year in multiple rounds of store closings. Lampert disclosed that plan in court documents. Lampert also denied that he's responsible for making some payments to creditors that he says Sears Holdings is trying to force him to pay. So what does all that mean? Well, Sears Holdings is the bankrupt remnant of the old Sears. It still exists only to settle claims against it involving its few remaining assets. Lampert had previously agreed to pay the severance to workers who lost their jobs before and during Sears bankruptcy. Creditors then objected to Sears paying severance to people laid off before the bankruptcy, so those workers never received an exit package. During bankruptcy proceedings, Lampert's attorneys told the court that Lampert and his hedge fund, ESL, were the best owners to help workers who lost their jobs in those store closings. But in the latest court documents, ESL said it wouldn't make the severance payments because Sears didn't give the hedge fund all of the assets it spelled out in ESL and Lampert's agreement to buy Sears. That included the amount of store inventory originally promised by Sears, as well as the company's headquarters in suburban Chicago. Meanwhile, Sears Holdings filed a motion with the court yesterday, arguing that ESL is not due any additional assets under the terms of the sale. So, thousands of employees are now bargaining chips in the ongoing battle. Be careful what you promise. Let's talk privacy and your smart speaker for just a moment. Amazon has added the ability to tell its Alexa digital assistant to forget what it's heard in a move that could assuage concerns about Echo devices remembering conversations. The command, Alexa, delete everything I said today, will get the virtual aid to do just that. Amazon added it was working on narrowing the command of ordering Alexa to delete what was just said. Concerns have been raised that internet-linked smart speakers with built-in microphones or cameras could snoop on private conversations or moments. The new feature will be added to an Alexa privacy hub that provides controls for information shared with or by Echo devices, which also allow microphones and cameras to be turned off. You see what you learn here? Alexa, delete everything I said today. No, not you. Alexa. In other tech-related news, Gmail's confidential mode will be launching in G Suite on June 25th, according to a blog post from Google. The mode will be on default in Google's suite of tools for business and allow workers to set expiration dates and revoke access to emails. Users can also require recipients to go through text message authentication before being allowed to view an email. Additionally, with confidential mode, recipients don't have the option to forward, copy, print, or download their content or attachments. Announced back in August, confidential mode was rolled out first to personal Gmail iOS and Android apps. With no end in sight, the continuing trade war with China will have an outsized impact on the most vulnerable of businesses. And who or what might they be? Small business. Large companies like Walmart or Target can adjust to changes in its supply chain much easier than a small business can. Those two retail giants have already offered warnings on prices that are going up, and companies can take steps to protect their supply chain that small businesses can't. Why is it harder for small business? Well, Walmart and Target have the cash to buy more inventory before the Trump administration tariffs on Chinese goods kicks in. They can then monitor the situation and front-load purchases to have goods already imported before the cost of doing that increases. And that, of course, does have some cost to itself. Warehousing and lengthening how long something sits in inventory does cost money, but not nearly as much as paying an extra 25% in tariffs on imported items. A small business might be able to increase inventory slightly, but it's not likely to have the free capital to make big buys ahead of the tariffs being implemented. In addition, smaller companies that make those big advance purchases may put their survival in jeopardy if consumer demand shifts before the items can actually be sold. All of those tariffs are implemented and the trade war goes on, then small business importing goods from China are going to suffer. That suffering will be magnified by companies like Target and Walmart being able to avoid some of the impact, creating an even greater price divide. And in that scenario, it's easy to see how some small players might get priced out of existence. And, by the way, this just won't hurt mom-and-pop stores. It could be the tipping point for retailers like JCPenney, Bed Bath & Beyond, and others who are currently fighting for survival. Well, they're called ultra-processed foods, sort of like the kind you take out of the freezer case and pop into the microwave for lunch at work. Well, the case against so-called ultra-processed foods just got a little stronger with the release of two large studies linking the products to increased risk of heart disease and premature death. Ultra-processed foods are typically frozen meals, canned foods, sugary cereals, reconstituted meats, and packaged baking goods. They generally contain high levels of fat, added sugars, salt, and various additives. The researchers found that participants whose diets contained the highest amounts of ultra-processed foods had a 62% increased risk of premature death from any cause during the study period. The study also accounted for factors such as gender, age, physical activity, baseline BMI, and smoking history. However, it's unclear exactly how ultra-processed foods do their damage. It could be weight gain, as these foods don't offer much in the way of nutrients and are pretty calorie dense. What's more, the foods contain high levels of added sugar, salt, unhealthy fat, and additives, but are very low in fiber. So careful what you eat. Go ahead and click ahead for a conversation about guns, gun violence, shooting as a sport, and the odd reason firearm sales are down. My guest is Tom Hudson, a partner in Crossroads Shooting Sports. And what he has to say might surprise you. I know it did me. Tom Hudson, coming up next on the Business News Hour.